Can I ask you one quick question before you start? This is something from disturbing.
If it's about the chulin shiur, that's fine.
No, it's not exactly about anything. Is there such a thing as being yotze with a mitzvah d'oraisa of the piano? Or is b'dyavad only a concept in Durabonis?
So we can have a whole discussion on that. That's a tosis in Masechta Yevamos. It's about chalitza, actually. Where there's a din d'oraisa l'chatchila in chalitza. And from there, the achronim develop a whole shita based on that tosis. All right. So let's see if we can go through the sugya today. We'll start with Rav Chisda, okay? Because that's more or less what we were holding last time. And the Gemara tells us the following. Rav Chisda layit aman de mahadar amaya be'idon silusa. Rav Chisda was not happy about someone who is running after water, you know, to look for the possibility of netilas yadayim at the time of tzilusa. Now, we don't know what the word tzilusa means here in this context. Usually it's referring to tefillah. Here the Gemara says that tzilusa is more of a general term, and it includes Kriyat Shema as well.
Light is also a very strong term.
Very strong, right. It's coming down very hard. Because as a result, you'll see, we're afraid he might miss Zman Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara says that's very... Yeah. And Adarav, you know, in a sense it's strange, because what motivates him? He's really looking for water to clean his hands. I mean, that's a good thing. Yeah, that's good for the Jews. But not at the expense of possibly jeopardizing missing Kriyat Shema. The Gemara says the following: Vahani mili, why are we being harsh? That's only lekriyat shma, v'letfila mahader. But as far as tefillah is concerned, we're going to encourage him to look for water or look for other possibilities of cleaning his hands, and that's a primary concern. So Rashi wants to understand, and we all have to understand, what's the difference here between kriyat shma and tefillah? Why is it that with regard to kriyat shma, we're not so excited about the fact that he's running around looking for water? With regard to tefillah, we're going to encourage him to look around for the possibility of cleaning his hands. So Rashi comes up with a technical distinction between Kriyat Shema and tefillah. And Tosis doesn't understand this technical distinction. Rashi says, L'kriyat Shema, when's he running around? Be'idna the Kriyat Shema. Means he didn't prepare it beforehand. It's now the moment of Kriyat Shema. It's time for Kriyat Shema. And he's running around looking for water. He wants to clean his hands. Rashi says, Mana Kavua. It's a very set amount of time, and it's limited. And Rashi says, Pen Yavar Azman. We have to be worried about the fact that maybe while he's running around looking for water, he'll miss Zman Kriyat Shema. That's not a good thing. Avol Tfila, and here's where Rashi gets technical, Dechol Hayom Zmanahu, the entire day is Zman Tfila. Tzarech Lemeheder Amaya. Then we're going to encourage him to look for water. We would have done so in Kriyat Shema as well, fundamentally, but just in Kriyat Shema, we have to balance that with the fear that maybe he'll miss Zman Kriyat Shema. In the case of Tefillah, we don't have that fear. So we go back to square one, and we have to encourage him to look for water. What's the obvious question on Rashi, as Tosus points out? Even with regard to Tefillah, there's Zman Tefillah. I mean, Zmanei Tefillah, Shacharis, we're going to have the Mishnah later on, Zman Mincha, when is the latest time for Mincha. So we are pressured even with regard to Tefillah. Rashi seems to be talking about Tefillah d'oraisa, the Chol Hazmana, but once the Rabbanan instituted Zmanei Tefillah, we should be very careful about Zmanei Tefillah. So leaving Rashi's sheet on the side for a moment, what I'd like to do for a few minutes of your time is study the Rambam sheet. The Rambam likewise has a distinction between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. And yet in many ways the Rambam equates Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. And we're going to try to find like a very sensitive balance here. To what extent do we equate, is there a perfect analogy between tefillah and kriyat shema in terms of the requirements? And to what extent do they part ways? So let's begin with the Rambam as far as tefillah is concerned. This is the famous Rambam at the beginning of the fourth perek. The fifth perek is those things that are only advisable, recommended in tefillah, but you can do without them. But the fourth perek is dedicated to those things which are absolutely indispensable in tefillah. Chamisha Dvar, the Rambam counts five. Uma'akvim es ha-tefillah, which means that without them, you're not yotze the mitzvah of tefillah. Afal gav, afal pi shehigia zmano. It's not like you davened too early or too late. You davened on time, but you're missing one of five requirements. We'll read the five. We're focused on the first of the five. Taras yodayim, v'kisu yaerva, v'taras makom tefillah. That's also important for us. Udvar machovzim oso v'kavanas halev. So the Rambam here in Halacha Aleph of Perek Dalid includes Taras Yadayim. Rabosai, what conclusion do I derive from the fact that the Rambam incorporates Taras Yadayim here in the Chamisha Dvarim HaMa'akvim Es HaTfilah? What's the obvious conclusion that I must derive?
It's essential.
And therefore, if what? Give me Halacha L'maisa Nafkamina according to the Rambam. Harvey, what happens if he daven
without
Taras Yadayim? What would he have to do? Correct. He's Chozer Mispal, meaning the Tilas Yadayim, according to the Rambam, is Ma'akev with regard to Tefillah.
It doesn't say Tilas, it's
Taras Yadayim. Which could be either the Tila of Mayim or Bitzrar. So if he doesn't take a Tzrar, because he doesn't have Mayim, and he hasn't achieved Taras Yadayim, the Rambam is saying that's Ma'akev is a Tefillah. That's absolutely indispensable in tefillah. If the Rambam says kavanas halev is indispensable to tefillah, that's because the Rambam says there's no maisa mitzvah of tefillah. Maisa tefillah requires kavana. I have to know that what I'm doing is I'm standing in front of the shechina. But now the Rambam says leave out those conditions that are in the maisa tefillah. There are other conditions that relate to the way the person is prepared for tefillah. And the first of those conditions is Taras HaYadayim. That's what we see here in the Rambam. The Rambam goes on to say that Taras HaYadayim Ketzad, Rochetz Yodav V'mayim Ad HaPerek V'achkach Yispal. Then the Rambam goes on and on to say that if he doesn't have the wherewithal to get access to Mayim, he should use a Tzrar, he should use a Kesem, whatever he uses. Now, if you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchas Kriyat Shema, with regard to Taras HaYodayim, which is the fourth source on your page, if you happen to have the Maror Makomos page, this is the Rambam in Kriyat Shema Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph. Let's get the feel for the Rambam. The Rambam says, HaKore Eshma Rochets Yadav B'mayim Kodim Sheyikra. He gives man kriyos of alomot samayim kodim sheyikra, and the Rambam says he should go ahead and recite kriyat shema. Let me read to you the entire lashon of Rambam. I didn't get on the page the entire lashon of Rambam. Rambam says the following: Hakore kriyat shema rochets yod. What does that sound like? Rochets yodav b'mayim. No, but I'm saying, in contrast to his language in Ilchus Tefillah, are you sensitive to the difference? What's the Rambam's opening line in Tefillah, Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, regarding Taras HaYadayim? Ma'akev. Here the Rambam is almost telling you, this is a good idea. I advocate strongly that you should be Rochets Yadav V'mayim Kodem Sheyikra. But then the Rambam says, "He gias man kriyasa v'lo matza mayim lo ya'acher kriyasa v'yelech levakesh mayim." Don't get too excited about it. Ela mekaneach yodav biofar o bitzrar o bekora v'chayotze ben v'kore. The whole concept of Dvarim HaMa'akvim, which we saw in Tefillah, the first of which was Taras HaYadayim, is completely omitted in the Rambam Hilchas Kriyat Shema.
Well, what would the Rambam say if you didn't have anything to be Mekamech Yadayim? If it was possible you don't have the Torah, you don't have a Kohar.
Correct. So the Rambam, I think, would say that if you read Kriya Shema without washing your hands, in any sort of way, without cleanliness, you'd be Yotzei. Otherwise, the Rambam dropped the ball here and omitted what's so crucial, namely that Taras Yadayim is Dvarim HaMa'akvim as a Kriya Shema. You know, I was always taught by my Rebbe that you learn from what the Rambam says, but you also learn from what the Rambam doesn't say. In this case, the omission of the Rambam is so pronounced. You know, the fact that the Rambam in Kriyat Shema is just advocating, you know, Taras Yadayim, Rechitza this, the time in Kriyat Shema, you're worried that use a tzrar. The Rambam doesn't tell me that if you recited Kriyat Shema without washing your hands, is Chozer V'Kori Kriyat Shema. It's a Dvarim HaMa'akvim as Kriyat Shema. So my first question to you today is that if this is a correct diuk in the Rambam, we have to understand why the Rambam distinguishes between Tefillah and Kriyat Shema. But what we do know is that when the Gemara is a little bit nervous about Zman Kriyat Shema and Zman Tefillah, you can begin to appreciate why the Gemara will be a little bit more laid back about it when it comes to Kriyat Shema than it was when it comes to Tefillah. So for example, if you jeopardize missing Zman Kriyat Shema by running around for water, is Rav Chizkiya very, very upset about that. Whereas in the case of Tefillah, Rav Chizkiya is going to go all out and he's going to tell you, go look for water. Now Rashi says go look for water because we're not nervous about you missing Zman Tefillah. But Tosis objects to that. Zman Tefillah is also Aloch and Tefillah. Just like there's a Zman Kriyat Shema, there's also Zman Tefillah. So why is it that Rav Chizkiya, when it comes to Tefillah, tells you to go all out, you know, make sure you get the water or whatever you need if you don't have water? And according to the Rambam, I think the answer here is very clear. In the case of Kriyat Shema, where you can be Yotzei with Kriyat Shema without Taras Yadayim, it's not Ma'akev, then Rav Chizkiya says, don't jeopardize missing Zman Tefillah for the sake of Taras Yadayim. In the case of Tefillah, on the other hand, where Taras Yadayim is absolutely Midvarim HaMa'akvim as a Tefillah, then I'm not going to play games with you and say, well, you know, it's time pressured and we got to move ahead. What do you mean move ahead? We can't move ahead from the spot without somehow achieving Taras Yadayim. But the more fundamental question that I'd like to ask then, if that's the Rambam's understanding of Rav Chizkiya, why is it so? And I'll tell you that this distinction between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah bothers me for another reason. Because in addition to Taras HaYodayim, the Rambam has on his list, in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, Taras Makom Tefillah. So let's take a moment to think about Taras Makom Tefillah and see how it plays out in the comparison again between Tefillah and Kriyat Shema. Clearly, in the case of Tefillah, the Rambam has incorporated Taras Makom HaTefillah in the five Dvarim HaMa'akvim as HaTefillah. It means if I prayed without Taras HaMakom, Chozer Mispal, because the Dvarim HaMa'akvim is HaTefillah. What would the Rambam say in a similar case in Kriyat Shema? So I'd like to look with you at the Rambam, this time Perek Gimel Milchus Kriyat Shema Halacha Beis, which is the fourth source on your page. The Rambam says, Ein Korin Lo Bebeis HaMerchatz V'Lo Bebeis HaKise, which means a Makom Tzoa. He says even if there is no Tzoa there. And the Rambam has many different halachos that apply to Kriyat Shema with regard to Makom Kriyat Shema, with regard to a place which is appropriate for reading Kriyat Shema. For example, he excludes a Beis HaKvaros, Vitzan HaMes, and then he says, V'chol Misha Kara, B'makom She'ein Karim Bo. Now cover the next two words, so to speak. I mean, this is just a game. But I mean, what do you anticipate the Rambam is going to say after reading Halacha Aleph? in the case of Taras Yodayim, where the Rambam says it's not Midvar Mamak from Esa Kriyat Shema, the Rambam nowhere whispers that if you recited Kriyat Shema without washing your hands or cleaning your hands, that you have to repeat Kriyat Shema. What would I anticipate if the Rambam is going to be consistent that if there was no Makom Haroy LeKriyat Shema, what would the Rambam say if he went ahead and he recited Kriyat Shema, even though the Makom wasn't appropriate for Kriyat Shema? What would you anticipate the Rambam would say? Ein Chozer V'Kori Kriyat Shema. The Rambam says, if he called Misha Kara B'Makom She'ein Korimbo, Chozer V'Kori. So now I have another question. My second question to you is, with regard to Kriyat Shema, we see something fascinating in the Rambam. And that is that Makom Kriyat Shema is Likuva, is absolutely indispensable. But Taras HaYadayim, in all its forms, is not indispensable. You can do without it. Again, L'chatchila, you have to clean your hands for Kriyat Shema. So we have two questions. Number one, with regard to Netilas Yadayim and Taras HaYadayim, the Rambam holds that in Tefillah, it's Midvar Ma'akvim as HaTefillah. In Kriyat Shema, the Rambam doesn't give us a hint, a clue that it's Ma'akvim as HaTefillah. As HaKriyat Shema, nor does the Rambam say that Im Kara below Netilas Yadayim Chozev HaKori. That he doesn't say. However, although the Rambam compares and contrasts the difference between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah with regard to Taras HaYadayim, again, in Tefillah, Taras HaYadayim is Ma'akeves. In Kriyat Shema, it's Mashma that the Rambam holds that Taras HaYadayim is Eina Ma'akeves. That's number one. But with regard to Taras HaMakom, here the Rambam holds that both Tefillah and Kriyat Shema share the same principle, and the Makom is Likuva. It's absolutely indispensable. Yeah, Al, you want to say something here?
Yeah, I wanted to say.
But don't make the kasha harder. Make the see if you can come up with the terrence of the kasha, because the kasha is hard enough.
You know. One of the at least to me glaring differences between Taras HaYadayim and the other criteria that are mentioned here in the Rambam,
yeah,
is that Taras HaYadayim is, a, so to speak, a theoretical problem with the Yadayim. It doesn't say that they're in muluchlochin that you have to wash them. Presumably, or maybe it's because the Gemara holds that Yadayim askanios or whatever it is. But it's still, it's not that they're without question,
yeah,
not appropriate for without washing them. But all the other things, they are without question, they are always inappropriate. In other words, if there's tzohar there, if it's a makom besakise, and therefore has a shame makom besakise, it's always inappropriate. So as opposed to yadayim, it's only theoretically that mistama, his hands are not good.
But you know, in a sense, Alan, I think, as I was afraid you might do for us, you're making the kasha even stronger. Because if Taras HaYadayim is always like a suffix, you know, we don't know if his hands are clean or not clean. I think if we took a quick pause here in the shiur and the census here, are most of our hands clean? I think in most cases you would tell me the hands are clean. Maybe because you wash them after the water, I don't know. But most people walk around with clean hands. So Adarabba, the Rambam says, if you don't do it until you die, then you ma'akev is at tefillah. Why isn't there a parallel halach in Kriyat Shema? That's what I'm asking. You know, since we see that the Rambam very much equates and derives conclusions in Kriyat Shema from tefillah, why didn't he do so with regard to Taras HaYadayim? So I need some sort of fundamental distinction between tefillah and Kriyat Shema. If you can come up with that. Yeah, that would be exciting. Anybody else besides Alan want to join in this? I just don't. You know, I like to spread the wealth, Alan. You know, you don't mind, do you? And we could talk the whole day today, but most of the gentlemen here in the Shia don't get to see me except for this one hour. You and I get together a lot. So, is there anyone else who wants to just take a stab at it? Again, keep in mind the Rambam holds that all three parashiyos of Kriyat Shema Doraisa. The Rambam holds that tefillah is a doraisa, tefillah is a mitzvah amongst taryag. why would the Rambam have been more machmir in tefillah with regard to Taras HaYadayim than he is with regard to Kriyat Shema? So let me start from the basics. I want to take a step back here, because sometimes, you know, we get so involved in the forest and we don't take a step back to see the individual trees in the forest. When we think about tefillah and how it works, how it operates, let's ask ourselves the question, what makes tefillah into tefillah? That's a fundamental question, but what I mean to say is, you know, in Brisk they were inclined to think that there are halachic entities. We've discussed this many times. You know, we spoke about once the Chalushem Torah. You know, the Torah is an entity. It's something that exists. It's real. You're not allowed to bring Torah into certain places via Machanecha Kadosh, last week's parasha, and so forth and so on. Tefillah is also an entity. We'll call it a Chefzah Shel Tefillah. It's an entity. It's something that you can. It's tangible. What creates tefillah? Or maybe you'll say to me, tefillah doesn't have to be created. Tefillah itself is created. It exists by virtue of itself. It's self-created. So what would be your answer to that question? Who or what creates tefillah?
You're not saying the din of tefillah itself.
No, not the din of tefillah. I'm talking about tefillah as an entity. I need a tefillah that could go up to Shamayim, Laratzos. How do I see that entity of tefillah? I'm asking a very conceptual, theoretical question.
We
create it. How do you know that we create that entity of tefillah? That this entity doesn't exist until we create it? Can you prove that to me? Again, I'm sorry that I'm pressing you on basics. This is like, you know, the olive base, but... V'eino, not Mechadish, V'eino. Before you get to Mechadish, V'eino what? Eino is Kaveh. You need Kavana in order to create Tefillah. Man actively, and this is not just philosophy, this is Halacha, man actively has to create the entity of Tefillah. And as he do so, through his Kavana. And there are so many different nafkaminas. For example, let's say that I think I'm davening a tefillas mincha because I have to make tashlumen. And in terms, I'm really supposed to be davening a tefillas shachris or whatever it might be. You haven't created that entity of tefillah. You have to create a tefillah shachris, you have to create a tefillah mincha, create a tefillah mairiv. Or take, for example, the distinction between a tefillah chova and a tefillah nedava. In order to essentially engender a tefillah nedava, you have to have an intention of davening a tefillah nedava. On the flip side, to create an entity which is called tefillah chova, you have to have kavana l'shem chova. And if you don't, then you're not Yotzi Yehovah's tefillah. So there are many manifestations of the fact that a person, a human being as a mispal, has to actively create an entity of tefillah. Again, Chazal, the Ashkenaz Agdola, formulated a Nusach HaTefillah, as the Rambam says in his introduction, for the sake of the Ilgim. You know, there were people who couldn't express themselves, they couldn't be very... You know, they couldn't express themselves properly in the right way and cover all the necessary aspects of tefillah. But fundamentally, even without the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and even today, I can get up and create a tefillah. I can be mischanein with a supplication in front of Hashem and be miskaven that I'm standing in front of Hashem with a tefillah. That's man's element in creating the entity of tefillah. It means that if tefillah is a chefza, that chefza needs what? A gavra. The gavra has to create the chefza. So tefillah begins with the gavra. This, I believe, is the principle of hikon lekras elokecha. For tefillah, a person has to prepare himself for tefillah. I want to read to you a gemara here on Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis. The gemara says that if a person davens b'makom tzoa, Rava says, Hoil v'chata afal pi, excuse me, Hoil v'chata tfiloso tfilas to'eva. Very harsh language. A person prayed in a place of to'eva. So Tosa says, what did he do that was so terrible? And his tefillah is a to'eva. Tosa says, Hayayachal lehistapek, he should have had some doubts. V'litlo sheyesham tzoa. Take a look at the Rambam's language. I think the Rambam and Tosas here are saying the same thing. The Rambam in Ilchas Tefillah says the following. This is Perek Dalet Halacha Tes. It's the third source on your page. Hamispalel umatza tzoa bimkomo hoil v'chata. Why was he a chote? Mipnei shelo badak ad shelo hispalel is choser umispal b'makom tar. The Rambam says, Hovlo Badak. I can't just get up and daven. There are prerequisites. There are, introductions before I can get up and daven. And the first requirement that I have is to be bodek the makom. And if I didn't bodek the makom, and I didn't undergo the proper preparations of hikon before I set up a tefillah, that tefillah, if it turns out to be tzoa, I didn't win this lottery, I lost the gamble, there's tzoa there, it's a tefillah's to'eva. Man, if he lacks the hechsher, the going through the preparations to create tefillah, then he cannot create tefillah. The Rambam holds that there are two dinim that are necessary in order for the person to be roy, to be prepared and suitable for creating tefillah. Number one, taras hamakom. He has to be bodek to clear out the place, make sure everything is clear. It's like the soldiers who go out to battle, first they have to make sure there are no mines in the field, kashashom, right? He has to clear out, make sure there's no tzoa. That's his first hikon. Then the Rambam says there's another hikon. And what's that? Taras hayodayim. A person has to make sure that his hands are clean. Maybe he'll luck out and his hands are clean. But nevertheless, he's got to guarantee that his hands are clean. Otherwise, he hasn't fulfilled the prerequisite for creating an entity of tefillah, namely, hikon l'kras alokecha, prepare yourself. You yourself are going to be the gavra that creates the chefetz shel tefillah. There are various requirements in halacha that have to be fulfilled in order for the gavra to be capable of creating a chefetz shel tefillah. And the Rambam establishes that if you haven't undergone those preparations, your tefillah is not a tefillah. If you weren't bodek the place and it was a makom tzoa, you do not have the capacity to create a makom, to create an entity of tefillah, chefetz shel tefillah. If you didn't clarify that your hands are clean, then taras yadayim akeves tefillah, your tefillah is not a tefillah, choser mispalel. And not so in the case of Kriyat Shema. In the case of Kriyat Shema, I don't need the gavra to create the chefetz shel tefillah, shel Kriyat Shema. Who created the chefetz shel Kriyat Shema? What is Kriyat Shema? Correct, reciting three parshios in the Torah Kiksavam. My mitzvah is to take these three parshios and make them into Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Good, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim is one thing, but the entity of Kriyat Shema is meaningful per se. Automatically, I don't need you to actively create the entity of Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema is parshios in the Torah. Therefore, the Rambam says that the normal halacha that applies to tefillah, requiring, expressing itself in taras hayadayim, namely, hikon l'kras Hashem alokecha, you have to prepare yourself. You have to prepare yourself because you are going to create the chefetz shel tefillah. Masha ein kein in kadosh in Kriyat Shema, where the entity of Kriyat Shema stands on its own two feet, it emerges automatically by virtue of the fact that you're just reading parshas in the Torah. There the Rambam holds that although there are embellishments, there are items that can l'chatchila beautify your Kriyat Shema, like for example taras hayadayim, but it's not ma'akev, because at the end of the day, even if you were lacking taras hayadayim, you read three parshiyos, and the kriya, the recitation of three parshiyos itself engenders the cheftishal mitzvah and makes your mitzvah meaningful. With regard to Taras HaMakom, the Rambam holds that in Kriyat Shema they established a separate halacha that if you were not careful and you went into a Beis HaMerchatz to recite Kriyat Shema, then you're not Yotze. That's a separate halach of either call it a knas, you know, because he shouldn't have done such a thing, or maybe because the parshiyos are Talmud Torah and there are certain places that are antithetical to Torah, Mishum Loig L'Rash, or Mishum Achnech Kadosh, and therefore you're not Yotze Kriyat Shema. But as far as the halacha that the Gavra himself has to prepare himself in order to create an entity of tefillah, as expressed in the halacha of Taras Yadayim, here the Rambam finds a fundamental distinction between what? Between tefillah and Kriyat Shema. So therefore, if you daven without Taras Yadayim, the Rambam holds Chozer u'mispal. On the other hand, if you read Kriyat Shema without Taras Yadayim, is you a Yotze the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Rabosai, the Mishnah tells us, I want to move on, HaKori Yeshma V'lo Yishmia Liozno Yotza. According to the Tanakhama, you don't have to hear, he doesn't darshan the Pasuk Shema, HaShmei Liozno Mash Tamotzi Mipicha Yoyotze. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Yotza. The Gemara says, my time in the Rabbi Yossi, Mishum Dechsiv Shema. Tanakama, what does he do with the word Shema? Becholosh and Shata Shomei. Rabbi Yossi, Tarte Shema Mina. Rabbi Yossi derives two things from the word Shema. Okay. Now, in the case of Kriyat Shema, Rabbi Yossi says there's a requirement of Shema Hashmei Liyoznecha. And therefore, lo ishmia li ozno, Rabbi Yossi holds lo yotza. Now, I'm tempted to wonder, what would Rabbi Yossi say after we pass the bounds of Kriyat Shema into the world of brachos? What would he say about a bracha? Does Rabbi Yossi require that in the case of a bracha, you also need hashmea li oznecha? So the Gemara quotes a brisa. If you see the paragraph Mimai on the fourth line, it says Sanya lo yivarech adam birkas hamazon belibo v'im birech yotza. Okay, now this is very interesting. Before we see Rashi, because Rashi's going to throw a monkey wrench here, but just simple pshat in the brisa, let's assume the Gemara is going to go back and forth on this, that the brisa was authored by Rabbi Yossi. So in Kriyat Shema, Rabbi Yossi requires lo ishmiel liozno lo yotza. Without ishmiel liozno, that's indispensable, he wasn't yotze Kriyat Shema. But with regard to brachos, if Rabbi Yossi is indeed the author of this brisa, then he was yotze even though lo ishmiel liozno. And the Gemara says, Mani, who's the author of this brisa? Lo Rabbi Yossi, v'lo Rabbi Yehuda. I Rabbi Yehuda amar lechatchila nami yotza. The Gemara at this point thinks that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even lechatchila you don't need to hear the bracha. And therefore, how could the brisa establish lo yivarech birkas hamazon belibo? I Rabbi Yossi, dieved nami lo. If we apply the yardstick of Kriyat Shema to brachos, based on that analogy, since Rabbi Yossi holds that in Kriyat Shema without Hashmei Liozno, you're not Yotze, Shmia Sa'ozen is Likuva in Kriyat Shema, it should also be Likuva with regard to brachos. So Gemara answers, no. That even though Rabbi Yossi requires Shmia Sa'ozen in Kriyat Shema, that doesn't apply to Birkas HaMazon. Now, Rabosai, let's see what's going on here. What's the case in Birkas HaMazon of this brisa, where the brisa says that in Birech Yotza? Now, we can talk about three different levels. The highest level, the perfect level, would be Shmias HaOzen, where I recite something and I can hear it. The next level down is called Levate Bisvaso, the Eino Shomea. In other words, he expresses it, let's say he whispers it, but he can't hear it. And the third level is, the lowest level, is where he doesn't even express it, even in a whisper, he just has what's called Kavanas Halev, or Hir Halev. So again, there are three levels. If I tell you that you don't need the highest level, meaning Shmias HaOzen, then I would suggest that you need the second level. If I want to tell you that even Hirhur, even Kavanas Libo is sufficient, it's not enough to tell you that you don't need Shmias HaOzen, because we have a whole middle requirement that's not exactly Shmias HaOzen, but it's not Hirhur, and it's not Kavanas HaLev, namely, Levate Bisfasov, he's got to express it with his lips. So therefore, when I read this Mishnah, this Brisa, excuse me, that says that with regard to Birchas HaMazon, Lo Yevarech Adam Belibo, but V'Yimbirech Yatza, I would have assumed, simple, straightforward pshat in this Brisa, that which level is the Brisa willing to accept as being valid b'di'evet. Again, let's read the Brisa. The Brisa is talking about belibo and imbirech yata. It sounds like, which level? Even the lowest level, no? Isn't that the impression you get? And I think Rashi's coming lafuki. Rashi tells you, belibo shelo ishmihal yazno. Well, what's Rashi telling me? What do you mean, lo ishmihal yazno? I read that in the Brisa. I don't need Rashi for that. Rashi doesn't have to repeat what's explicit in the Brisa. The answer is that Rashi is telling you, don't misunderstand this Brisa. When the Brisa says that you're yotze b'di'evet, that means the Chiddush of the Brisa is that you don't need, like the standard of Kriyat Shema, of Rabbi Yossi, of Ishmael Yozno. But it doesn't mean that belibo is enough. Just to think the words of the Bracha, you're yotze, Rashi would hold that you don't need Shmias HaOzen, but you definitely require Hotzah B'Svasav. Again, Hotzah B'Svasav without hearing it. Like, for example, the case of a Cheresh. What kind of Cheresh are we dealing with, Rabbi Osai? You speak a little louder, I don't hear you. Yeah, what?
He says something.
Yeah. He's a Medaber, right? Because if he's Eino Shemev, Eino Medaber, so that's called the Shota. He has the same status as the Shota. He's not Yotzi any brachas. But we're talking about someone, he was, let's say, he was born perfectly healthy, but then he lost his sense of hearing. So he's an Eino Shomer, but he's a Medaber. He speaks beautifully. You know, he can be a public speaker. But he's an Eino Shomer. Fine. So he can't hear the bracha. But he definitely could be Motzi Visvasov. Correct? So what level would we allow b'di'eved? L'chatchili should be mashmiel liyaznav, but b'di'eved yotze even lo ishmiel liyaznav. So Rashi says lo ishmiel liyaznav, but he was motzi v'sfasav. But take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam, I think, goes out of his way lafuki to exclude Rashi. And this is the Rambam next to the last source on your page. Hilchos Brachos, Perek Alpha Lachos Zayin. The Rambam writes, Kol ha-brachos kulon, tzorech shi-yashmiel li-ozno mashu omer, meaning the best, most perfect way of reciting a bracha is the top level, which means to hear what you say. V'im lo hishmiel li-ozno yata, and I would have thought at this point, like Rashi, that it means that you at least need lahotzi b'sfasov, says the Rambam, bein shahotzi b'sfasov, bein shabirech b'limo. Meaning the Rambam wants to tell you that even level number 3 is acceptable for the Evet. Although l'chatchila we want Hashma l'oznav. And if you look at the Kesef Mishnah, he says, Kol ha-brachos, he says, B'perikah yekore, T'nan ha-kore yeshma, V'lo ishmiya li'ozno yotza, Rabbi Yossi omer lo yotza. So that's the Mishnah here on Daf Tesvav with regard to Kriyat Shema. Ubigumara Amar Rav Yosef Machlokas b'Kriyat Shema Dichsiv Shema Yisrael Amal b'shar mitzvos Divri HaKol Yotza Upirish Rashi B'chol HaMitzvos B'chol HaBrochos Utanya nami hasam lo yivarech adam birkas hamazon belibo v'yembirach yatsa. Pirish Rashi belibo. What does belibo mean? Shelo ishmi aliyaznaf. Rashi's not willing to accept that belibo he's yotze b'dieved in brachos, meaning without enunciating the words. No, Rashi holds it's lo ishmi aliyaznaf, but he definitely was motzi b'fiv. But Milashon Rabbeinu, this is what the Kesef Mishnah wants to emphasize here, that the Rambam wants to tell you, quote, Bein Hotzi Bisfasav, Bein Shabir Belibo, Mashma Afal Pishla Hotzi Bisfasav Yotza, Lafuki Rashi. Rashi holds that you drop down one level from Shmias Ozen to Hotza Bisfasav. The Rambam wants to tell you that you could drop down two levels and you could be Yotze the Chiv Bracha even with Birech Belibo. That's all you need is Birech Belibo. But interesting, the Rambam himself, I think, is inconsistent. Because although the Rambam with regard to Brachos in Perek Alpha Halacha Zayin and Hilchos Brachos is clear that you don't even need Hotzah B'Sfasav, you can have Birech Belibo, with regard to Kriyat Shema, if you take a look at the Rambam at the bottom of your page, the Rambam says, Perek Beis Halacha Ches, V'tzorech Lashmi Ali Ozno Kishu Kore, V'im Lo Ishmi Ali Ozno Yata. What does the Rambam mean, Im Lo Ishmi Ali Ozno? Again, when you exclude the first level, the Rambam goes down one level, one notch, unless he says, Beferish, that, Machshavas Halit, right? So what would be the level that the Rambam would require as the barest minimum? That's absolutely indispensable. Hotzah b'sfasav. The Rambam doesn't say in Hilchos Kriyat Shema like he did in Hilchos Brachos, bein hotzi b'sfasav or bein birech belibo, or bein, here we should say bein kara belibo. That the Rambam doesn't say. And that's what the Kesef Mishnah quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Manoach, who's one of the Rishonim yet who interpret the Rambam. He's like one of the early commentators on the Rambam. He says, Lashmi Eliyazno. In other words, he doesn't need to be Mashmi Eliyazno. All he needs is to be Motzi Bisfasav. But to think about Kriyat Shema, the words, which is called Hirur Halev, that's not Dibur. Sheyachto Kriyosa Bisfasav, Lo Sheyikra Belibo, meaning Sheyachto Bikriyosa Bisfasav, that's the barest minimum requirement in Kriyat Shema. But Lo Sheyikra Belibo, he cannot be Kori Belibo. So if we take again the Kesef Mishnah and the Rabbeinu Manoach together, what we get is the following package. With regard to Brachos in general, the Rambam holds that although L'chatchila you need the highest level of Shmias HaOzen, B'dieved Yotzi, even the Rambam says, with Birech Belibo, which means Hirhur without any Hotzah Svasa. And yet, with regard to Kriyat Shema, the way Rabbeinu Manoach interprets the Rambam, although you don't need Shmias HaHozeh, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi, well, we only require it l'chatchila, but b'dieved, you could be Yotze without Shmias HaHozeh, but you definitely require Hotzah B'Sfasav. So my question to you is, why is it that the Rambam, with regard to Kriyat Shema, requires at least, at the barest minimum, that's absolutely indispensable, Shmias Ozen, Hotzah B'Sfasav, whereas with regard to Brachos in general, the Rambam goes down one level and he's willing to accept that Kavanas HaLev, which means Hiru, without any sort of Hotzah B'Sfasav, is acceptable for all Brachos, although in Kriyat Shema not.
Go back to the distinction we made earlier between
Brachos
and
Shema. Brachos,
where you need the Avdim and the
Chav,
and that's the that's where you start from. The Shema is a different
concept. Kriyat Shema is Kriyas Parshios. The Parshios exist with or without you. The Heft of Kriyat Shema, as we said, emerges on its own automatically. What you have to do in Kriyat Shema is you have to read those parshios. And the Rambam holds that Kavanas HaLev is not reading the parshios. So in order to take these parshios, which exist as an entity, and use them for your purpose to be Yotzi Yochkiv, what the Rambam requires is that you have some sort of a Dibur. According to Rav Yossi, that Dibra has to lead to Shmias HaOzen. That's how he interprets the word Shema. We don't accept Rav Yossi, but the Eved, therefore you don't need Shmias HaOzen. But at least we need a Maisa Kriya. Without reading it, that's not called Kriya Saparshios. And therefore in Kriya Shema you're not Yotze. Masha'enkin in Brachos, where it's all the Gavra, as we said before, you are creating the Tefillah and the Bracha. The Rambam tells that the Lev and the Kavanas HaLev is sufficient, and therefore you don't need Kriya, and you Yotze with Kavanas HaLev. Fine. Rashi, on the other hand, holds that every Bracha needs Dibur. And there are two levels of Dibur. Rashi holds that as far as Dibur is concerned, you can have Dibur without Shmias HaOzen, and you can have Dibur with Shmias HaOzen. Obviously, Dibur on the highest level that Tzlechatrila embellishes the mitzvah of Bracha is with Shmias HaOzen. Without Shmias HaOzen, you still need the basic requirement of Dibur, and for that you need Hotzah B'Sfasim. The Rambam accepts that you need Hotzah B'Sfasim in Kriyat Shema, but that's because Kriyat Shema needs a Maisa Kriya. Without Chituch, without Kriya Svasayim, there's no Kriya at all. You know, what you do in your lave is Hiralav Kedibur Dami. It's not a Kriya at all. But with regard to Brachos, the Rambam went a step further and he holds that Brachos like Tfilos, and all you need is Birech Belibo and your Yotz. But both sides, the paragraph that starts, my time with Rabbi Yossi, we read it a little bit too quickly. Tanan Hassam, in the second line, Cheresh HaMedaber V'eino Shomea Lo Yitrom V'imtaram Trumaso Truma. So we have the case of the Cheresh, and the Cheresh has a chiyuv of a mitzvah of Hafrashas Truma, but his problem is what? He's okay for Hafrashas Truma. Again, he's a Cheresh HaMedaber. But his problem is what? And the Brach. The Brach is a problem. Because he's an Eino Shomea. So the Braisa says, the Mishnah says, the Mishnah Megillah, Lo Yitram. He should stay away from Hafrashas Truma. Why? Because he's lacking the Brach. This would be a classical case of Birchas HaMitzvah. What do you do in a case where you have a chiyuv mitzvah, but you also have a chiyuv bracha on the mitzvah? Call it mitzvahs kula mevarch leim over lasiyos, but he can't make the bracha. So lo yitro. What does that mean, lo yitro? Should he forfeit the mitzvah of Hafrashas Truma? It means he himself personally should not be mafish. What does he do?
He gets a shliach.
He appoints a shliach. And the shliach could do both. The shliach could be mevarch on his behalf, and he could be mafish Truma on his behalf. So Rashi says, Lo Yitrom Lefisha Eino Shomea Bracha Shumavarech Aleha. And at this point, the Gemara maintains that just like Rabbi Yossi requires Shmias HaOzen in Kriyat Shema, because of the Pasuk Shema, likewise he requires it in all Tefillos Hadeil Brachas. So at this point, we're still not ready to accept the lower level of Hotzah B'Sfasov. Now we require the highest level of Shmias HaOzen. In the case of a Cheresh, unfortunately he's not capable of Shmias HaOzen. Therefore, what should he do? So L'chatchila, the best thing to do in order to achieve the highest level of Bracha is clearly to appoint a Shliach who could be Mevarech. But if he didn't do so, instead he was Mafrish himself. But what else did he do? Today I see his phone day. I'm just lucky my phone didn't go off. That's only because I left it in a different room. I'm waiting for the day in which we'll get three phones going off simultaneously. Could Mamish create a symphony orchestra? That too we'll get to, I'm sure.
We'll have a mezuzah.
Question is if all its tzlilim, you know, will integrate into a symphony, you know. So b'di'eved, you could be Yotzei a Chiyuv Bracha even without Hashmas Ozen. So the Cheresh went ahead and he was Mafrish Truman, he recited a Bracha. As a result, even though he didn't hear the Bracha, Rashi says he was Yotzei. So Rashi holds that this Gemara is really addressing the following question. How do I pull off the following achievement? I want to fulfill the mitzvah, and at the same time, I want to recite the bracha to fulfill both mitzvahs, both chiyuvim, the chiyuv mitzvah per se, and the chiyuv bracha as well. So the best way of doing that in the case of a cheresh is allowing, appointing someone else to be mafresh, trumas, and maestros, and to recite the bracha on his behalf. Then you get your cake and eat it too. What happens if you can't find the shliach? Or what happens if the cheresh, you know, did not want to appoint the shliach? He didn't want to rob himself of mitzvah bo yosef v'shlucho. So he went ahead and he was mafresh, trumas, and maestros, and he recited the bracha. But he was lacking shmias ha'ozen. So Rashi says he was yotzei. In Taram, Trumasa Truma, Rashi learns he was Yotzi not only the mitzvah of Hafrash's Truma, but even the mitzvah of Bracha. He wasn't Mashmiel Yozna because he's a Cheresh. The answer is that's not Likuva as far as the Bracha is concerned. You could be Yotzi of Bracha without Hashmas Ozen, but simply with Hotsas Svasa.
What's the up-to of getting a Shaliyah?
No, because L'chatchilu, we want to have Hashmas Ozen. That's
he's still not going to hear it.
No, it doesn't matter. That already works. Mishlucho shalom kamoso, meaning.
But isn't it only a case where I could do it myself?
Yeah.
But that's not a requirement in brachos. That would be in gittin and kedushin where the shlichus is on a chalos. If the shlichus is on a chalos and I'm not a bar hachi of that chalos, I can't create that chalos through a shliach as well.
What if he says it?
But in brachos, when I want to enhance my key of bracha and up it by one notch, instead of a bracha without hashmas ha'ozen, and I want to achieve hashmas ha'ozen, that we can do through a shliach.
So what if the Kairish himself says the bracha out loud and somebody else says amen and he hears it?
Yeah, but somebody else saying amen is only a chiyuv on that person because, you know, you shouldn't insult the bracha. But as far as the mitzvah of truma is concerned, the bracha on the mitzvah of truma is the bracha that the owner of the tefuah recites, namely in this case, the cheresh. The fact that other people say amen, that's their chiyuv. That has nothing to do with the mitzvah of truma. As a matter of fact, any bracha that I hear, I should be reciting amen. It has nothing to do with the bracha on truma.
But the cheresh, now that he has shaliach making the bracha, right. Who's hearing it? The shaliach is hearing it, but the owner of the truma is still not hearing it.
It's not a mitzvah to hear the bracha. The mitzvah is that the bracha could be heard. If the shliach is operating on behalf of the mishaleach, who's now the bialim of the truma, what do you want to say, Daniel?
I'm saying, isn't it that the mitzvah truma is mafresh, it's mitzvah chetzer or mitzvah gamra? There isn't any problems, but really,
well,
it's
you know,
about the bracha.
You want to know why shlichus works in truma in general?
Yeah, because
the chovas chetzer, meaning my obligation is to fix up the chetzer. All right. But Rabbi Osei, here's the point. Again, the most important point that we're focused on now is not how Shlichus operates in Truma. What we're focused on now is the fact that Rashi learns this sugya in the following way. Can the Cheresh be Yotzei not only Hafrashas Truma, but even Bracha by reciting the Bracha despite the deficiency that he's not Shomelios? And the Maskana here is yes. He could be Yotzei not only Truma, but also the Bracha. Tosfos, which you'll see on the next side of your page, says something totally different. Tosfos is focused here on the mitzvah of Truma. When the Mishnah says in Masechet Megillah, that Cheresh HaMedaber V'Eino Shomea Lo Yitrom, V'im Taram Trumaso Truma, how did Tosfos understand Trumaso Truma? He's Yotzei the mitzvah of Truma even without what? Without the bracha. Not that the bracha of the cheresh is valid because he was motzi v'svasa without shmias ha'ozen. That's not what it says in this price. This price maintains that you must have shmias ha'ozen in order to be yotzei the bracha. And the cheresh is lacking that. So enochinami, his bracha is meaningless. But what Tosis is learning is that his truma is truma. So Tosis asks, how is it different than Kriyat Shema? We're going according to Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says in Kriyat Shema, without Hashmas Ozen, and you're not Yotzi in the midst of Kriyat Shema. And why is Truma different? So the Tosis makes a chilik between the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, where Rav Yossi holds that Shmias Ozen is Likuva, and Truma, where Shmias Ozen is not Likuva, because the mitzvah per se of Truma is independent of the bracha, meaning the mitzvah of Truma even without a bracha you can fulfill. That's the famous principle of Ein habrachos ma'akvos es ha-mitzvos. So although his chiyuv to be mevarech was not fulfilled, because in the case of a chereish, we're lacking the precondition of hashmas haznayim, nevertheless, the mitzvah he fulfills. And that's what the b'risa, that's what the Mishnah means when it says, im hifrish is trumas or truma. What does trumas or truma mean? He's yotze the mitzvah, even without the bracha. So again, there's a fundamental machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos as to how to interpret this Mishnah. Rashi's learning that the chiddush of this Mishnah is not that his truma is truma, but that his truma is truma and his bracha is a bracha. That's how Rashi's learning this. Tosfos, on the other hand, says he forfeits the bracha because he doesn't have hashmas ha'ozen. But his truma is truma, and the chiddush of this Mishnah is that you can be yotze a mitzvah even without the bracha.
So what does Tosfos mean when it says lo yitrom?
Lo yitro means that even though the bracha and the mitzvah are two independent entities, nevertheless, chatchila, his chiyuv is to be mevarech. And if he can't fulfill that chiyuv, no way, no how, then he's got to appoint someone else to do the afrosha, and that someone else will make the bracha. What happens if he went ahead and was mafresh himself? The bracha is gone, even though he made the bracha, but he couldn't hear his bracha. He forfeits the bracha. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though he forfeits the bracha, he doesn't forfeit the mitzvah. Yeah. Rashi has a whole other pshat. Rashi's learning the chiddush of this Mishnah is that he's yotze again. Let's review for the third time. Not only the mitzvah of what? Of truma, but he even obtains the mitzvah of bracha. Whereas Tosa says hashmas ha'ozen is absolutely indispensable in brachos, Rashi holds no. Even without hashmas ha'ozen, as long as you have bitus v'sayim hotzav v'sfasov, you yotze the bracha. But the fascinating thing here, according to Tosis, is that there's a havamina without this Mishnah, that if you omit the bracha, you would not be yotze the mitzvah of truma. And not only that, the Gemara is going to establish, take a look, the Gemara says, Ad kan lo komer ab yosi lo yotze el legavi kriyat shma do raisa. Avol truma mishum bracha hu? Bracha derabonan. Velo bibracha talia milsa. Tosus understands that the mitzvah of truma is not dependent upon the bracha. Lo bibracha talia milsa. Which means, according to Tosus, that the mitzvah remains independent of the bracha, and the bracha is not indispensable to the kiyum mitzvah. That's only because what? That's only because the bracha is derabbanan, right? Let's read the Gemara again. Sometimes you miss the point of this if you don't read the Gemara carefully. The Gemara says that in the case of kriyat shma tzol do raisa, there you're not yotzi without hashmas ha'ozen. In the case of truma, you would think that you're not yotzi without hashmas ha'ozen. Kamash malon, the bracha is only derabbanan. And since the bracha is only the rabbanon, lav bibracha tal yimilsa, meaning hafrash is truma as a mitzvah, is not dependent upon the bracha. Why? Because the bracha is only the rabbanon. So the Tosa Rush points out that had the bracha been da'oraisa, I mean, if I would have postulated that birchas ha-mitzvah is da'oraisa, then you would forfeit the mitzvah without the bracha. If you mess up on the bracha, you actually mess up on the mitzvah. Which means that if bracha were do'oraisa, it's one entity. And that's a pella. Because before I asked you, what's the chiddush over here in the Mishnah? And now I'm telling you, it's not just the chiddush, it's not just the halamina that I might think that the cheresh forfeits the mitzvah of truma because he can't fulfill his obligation of bracha. It's much beyond that. It's even a halachic principle. It's not just the havamin. It's a maskana. Maskana of Tosus is that if there's a mitzvah that requires a bracha, and the Torah itself requires that bracha, without that bracha, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. How could I have such a havamin?
What about
the
Bikurim?
Well, you understand why the
havamin
that you have here.
Okay, so that's a different issue, that you have to hear it, and if you didn't hear it, you're not yotze, because Rav Yossi holds that Kriya Shema is the paradigm. But I'm asking a different question. Fine. Yeah, okay, we'll get to Birkas HaTorah, but I just want to get away with this. How could it be, this is my question, that a mitzvah depends upon the bracha? We have halacha of Birkas HaMitzvahs. And if Tosa says the requirement of Birkas HaMitzvah with Doraisa, then without the bracha, you're not yotze the mitzvah. It doesn't make any sense to me. The Torah tells me to be mafresh truma. The symphony goes on.
But isn't that true?
At least we're all consistent here, you know.
Isn't that true by Bichurim?
Yeah.
What if each time he brings a corn, he has to say D'oraisa, whole formula.
Oh, you mean Mikra Bikurim? Yeah. Well, you could be Yotze Bikurim without Mikra Bikurim, and the question is why?
Right.
But I'm asking a different question. I'm asking about Birchas HaMitzvahs. Mikra Bikurim is not Birchas HaMitzvahs. Mitch, what do you want to say?
You have to say it.
You have to say it.
We know that it's because that's one of the reasons for
those. Oh, okay. You're getting philosophical on me. But I wanted more of a halachic category. What is the purpose of the mitzvah, of the bracha? What role does the bracha... Exactly. And who is the one who said that bracha in mitzvah is a matir? Do you have it on your page? You on your flip side, page 2? Who is it? The Rambam is it. Because the Rambam says that just like in Birchas HaNenim, I'm not allowed to eat my food until I recite a bracha. The Rambam says so too in mitzvahs, I can't fulfill the mitzvah without a bracha. Who are you to implement this mitzvah and say, well, you know, I'm a human being, I'm a speck of dust in the universe, and I can come and fulfill God's will and create a bracha, and create a mitzvah. I can't do that. I need a prerequisite, I need an introduction to the mitzvah. What's my introduction to the mitzvah? The bracha itself. Kishem, the Rambam says, Shemavarach ma'adnoah, this is after the Rambam's long discussion about not being able to be nenem in olam hazeh lo bracha. Kishem, Shemavarach ma'adnoah, kach, and this you remember, we spoke in the name of the Chasdei David, we gave a long example that the bracha is poda, and in the case of nenim, that's kachin kalim, in the case of mitzvah is kachin kachim, and we had a long discussion about that. So Tosa says the following, that if bracha on a mitzvah would do right, so the Torah is requiring it as a matir. It's only because bracha is the rabbanon in mitzvahs, then the rabbanon establish it as a separate chova, an independent chova, independent of the mitzvah itself. Again, it's not totally independent, because keep in mind, the halacha is that the cheresh should not be mafresh trumas and maisers. Because again, Tosfos holds that he's going to forfeit the bracha if he himself is mafresh trumas and maisers. So the truth is that there is a connection between Birchas HaMitzvah and the mitzvah itself. Not the Torah's matir, but I would say that the kiyum of the mitzvah is enhanced by the bracha. And he who has the obligation of the mitzvah, but he cannot implement his obligation of the bracha, should give that mitzvah over to someone else who can make that bracha. We don't want to forfeit that bracha. L'chatchila, he should not be mafresh trumas of maisers. However, doesn't mean that he has to forfeit the mitzvah itself because he can't make the bracha. And if he has no shliach, and he himself went ahead and recited the bracha and told souls that Shmias Olzen is absolutely indispensable, so he forfeited the bracha, he didn't forfeit the mitzvah. The mitzvah remains independent of the bracha. And why is that? Because bracha is only the Rabbanan. Had bracha been the Oraisa, then Tosus would say that the bracha on a mitzvah is the matir. Without the matir, you have no right to fulfill the mitzvah, and therefore you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. So I just want to say this on Tuesdays and Thursdays for a few people who might be interested, we are learning Masechet Chulin. Now, we have a scheduling issue. Some people say that the best for them is to do it around noontime. You know, so that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to try to get Chulin in on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 12:15. But nothing is engraved in stone. So if anyone here is interested in joining the Chulin project, please let me know. Now, let me know what times work for you, and B'li Nether will try, if we have to stand on our heads, to work out a time so you can have 2 shiurim a week, even if I have to make up shiurim, whatever it might be. Just I warn you, when I repeat the same shiur twice, it usually comes out totally different. Now, on Mondays at 4:30, I give a chabura to the kolel in Chulin Yoredeah. Okay, now today's chabura, you can get the Maror Makomos from me if you like, is much more Yoredeah than Chulin. Okay, it has to do with powerful milks and powerful creamers and all that stuff, and whether you need a heker and a simon, and if you're allowed to drink the coffee with the creamer during the fleishik meal or after the fleishik meal, all these issues. But generally speaking, the chabura is meant to be a linkage between the sugis and chulin and the shulchan aruch. And even if you didn't participate in the sugis and chulin, you could still come to the chabura. It's totally independent. In addition to that, we started a project to learn Yoredeya together on Tuesday nights. On Wednesday nights. Thank you for the correction, I got confused. On Wednesday nights at what time?
7:30
for about 45 minutes. We learn Yoredeya together. If anybody's interested, please join us. So that'll be tomorrow. So tomorrow there'll be a shir in Chulin at 12:15. We're starting the beginning of Kol HaBasar. And there'll be a chabur today at 4:30. And that's on the sugi of parva, milks, and all that kind of stuff. And on Wednesday, we have a bracha shir again at 12:45, like at 11:45, like we had today. And then we have a chulin shir at 12:15. Anyone who wants to join the chulin shirim, as I said before, but 12:15 doesn't work for them, please let me know, and we'll try to work that out. Wednesday night, we have Yoredeya at 7:30. We're trying an experiment to see if it works. Hopefully, we'll get light in the room. Not like last Wednesday night, and we had to learn in the very stuffy office there. I mean, it was very intimate, but it was kind of stuffy. And then after that shiur, if anyone's interested, we're learning the philosophy of Rosh Hashanah based on Rav Huttner's Pachad Yitzchak. We're focusing now on the mitzvah of shofar. Those who were there, I got some pretty good feedback. I'm not committed to continue with Pachad Yitzchak for the rest of the year, but for right now, as preparation for Rosh Hashanah, that's at 8:20 on Wednesday nights. And then again on Thursday, we'll have a chulin shiur at 12:15. Tomorrow, the chief rabbi is coming to address us, the Ashkenazic chief rabbi. We already heard this sapphire, so we have to give equal time for the wives, the husbands, if you know what I mean.
Demanding equal time, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he heard that he got whatever. So that's going to be tomorrow at 7 o'clock, mincha at 6:45, and that's all the paid political announcements. Absolutely. But I think they're asking to notify us who's coming because we want to make sure that there'll be room for everybody. Oof. Can I move this without hurting anybody? Oh, okay.
It's very complicated. How do you keep it all
straight? Oh, I'm sorry. For me, it's not complicated because I'm living it.
On my other days,
right.
Happy New Day.